So welcome to Greek Club at Concordia Seminary. We are reading through Paul's letter to the Galatians, and we're in chapter 4. And I believe we had translated through verse 5, so we will then pick up on verse 6. And so we'll just get started. So Paul writes, or his scribe writes at his dictation, Hati de esta huioi, ex ap estelen hathaas, ta pneuma tu huiu autu, estas kardeas hemon kradzan, abba ha pater. So easy enough at the beginning. The de is post-positive, as you probably remember, so to translate, you put it in front of the hati. And because you are sons, notice the predicate nominative, huioi is not the subject, but is the predicate nominative after the linking verb. And now we have the main verb of the sentence. God sent out or sent forth from ex apostello, just the same verb we had up in verse 4 when God sent the Son. Now God sent ta pneuma tu huiu autu, the spirit of his Son, into the hearts of us, crying. Now, notice that the referent of the participle, kradzan, is pneuma, and it's in predicate position, because you've got the article back on pneuma, and this is a present stem participle, neuter singular accusative, because it agrees with ta pneuma. And there's a lot of interesting things about this passage, especially when you compare it with Romans 8. In Romans 8, we're the ones crying out. Here in Galatians 4, it's the Spirit crying out. And this participle actually works well in context as a participle that expresses purpose. It's in classical Greek, you'll see the future stem participle more often expressing purpose, apparently. And there are a few of those in the New Testament. But this New Testament writers tend to use the present stem predicate participle for purpose, and I think that works quite well here. So God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts in order that the Spirit might cry out, Abba Father. So, and we can't get into all those, all the theology of that and what in the world that might mean, but it's really a fascinating study when you, again, when you compare the similarity and the difference between Romans 4 and Romans 8 about verse 15 and so forth. So it's almost as if, just to say one thing about it, it's almost as if the Spirit cry lifts our cry to God. And it's the Spirit of the Son, so we know it's a good, and this is what the Son says in the garden, Abba, right? Mark 14. So it's really, so I'm getting into theology here, which is too much fun. And this is Greek Club. So, any questions about the Greek of verse 6? So. See, now the internet hearers are hearing the door open and slam, and they think it's people coming in, but I'm just really standing by the door, opening and closing it, and I'm here in this room all by myself. Okay. All right, verse 7. Hosta uk eti e dulas ala huias, e de huias kai kleronamas dia theu. Easy enough, and we scarcely need a verb, although we do have one. Verse 7, hosta can express result, or if it begins a sentence, as here is translated, therefore, so then, which of course is very closely related to the idea of result. So then, uketi, no longer, a is the verb, right? It's just the present indicative of ime, second singular, you are. So then, no longer. And notice Paul has shifted from plural, we and us, and you plural, to singular now, maybe just to specify and apply it. So then, you are no longer a doulos, a slave, but a son. So again, notice it's, we talked about this last week, it's kind of two-step. First you're a slave, then you're set free, then you're set free and you're adopted. So it's not just that he's made us spiritual freedmen or freedwomen, but actually adopted us into the family. Right? And so it follows, A, because it doesn't have a circumflex, is if, not the verb. See, that's the only difference. And if, and now we've got just the noun huios, and so you're supposed to supply, if you are a son, just supply the verb. Kai also, kleronamas, again, just a nominative noun, an heir. You are an heir through God. And that phrase, through God, actually strikes the scribes as very strange. So you can just glance down the whole bottom three lines of, it's the same variant reading there in verse 7. So is it on account of God, or through Christ, or through Christ Jesus? So it strikes people as an odd way of talking, and so the variant describes sort of unconsciously probably changed it around. So very short clauses here, linked by de and kai. So easy enough. Great theology, easy Greek. Right? Life is good. Questions? Comments? Anything? Okay. Plus it's sunny and it's a high of like 68 today. So this is St. Louis at its best. Okay, now we get into a little bit more, some little bit more complicated stuff. Verse 8. Allah tatamen uk edatastean edulusate tois fuse me usen theois. So now a kind of a new paragraph, a new thought begins. But, now tata can just mean then, like what comes next, but it can also mean before or formerly. And especially when paired, as verse 9 does, with nun, which means now. So often in the English translations, this is rendered at one time, or something like that. But we can just say, but then, now we have men, and just glance at the beginning of verse 9, we do actually have, that's our death. So on the one hand, on the other hand, right? So, but then, on the one hand, uk edates, it's a participle. Anybody spot the stem? What's it from?
Oida.
Correct, from oida, right, which means I know. And when you leave the indicative mood, oid goes to aid. And so this is a, technically it's a functioning like a present participle, but technically it's perfect participle, active, masculine, plural, nominative. And the referent, as is so common, is the it's the unexpressed subject of the main verb. If the subject of the main verb edelusata were expressed in the sentence, it would be masculine plural nominative. And so that's the referent of the participle. So, woodenly, on the one hand, formally, you not knowing God, and since we've got tata here, it's very easy to take this as a temporal clause. When you did not know God. You slaved away. You served. This is from du liuo. It's a weak stem. You can see the sigma and then the characteristic weak connecting vowel alpha, ate, right? So just aorist indicative, active, second plural. You served or slaved away to. And now, a tois, who can tell me what word, narrowly speaking, tois governs? What's it attached to?
Participle, Amy.
Keep going. I think it's attached to theois. It goes all the way to theois, and so fuse me usin is all in attributive position. Okay? Sean gets the geek award of the day. Yeah, the space in between the article and the noun is called the hyperbaton. Now write that down, and your board of elders will be very impressed in about 10 years. You know, yeah, you served, you slaved away to gods. Now, what kind of gods? By nature, not being gods. To gods which by nature don't exist, or something like that. See? So yeah, and the usin is the participle of a myth, and it's masculine plural dative to agree with the ois, it's referent. So again, those three words, fuse is the dative singular of fusis, nature. So dative of means. By means of nature, they are not gods. And that was your former condition. Right? And that's who you slaved away to. By the way, duleuo takes a dative direct object. And that's why you've got tois the ous, excuse me, tois the ois instead of tous the ous. So. Okay? So that's kind of that's the one hand, and now verse 9, we get the other hand. We get the de of the men and de. All right? Look good? Questions? All right. Verse 9. Nun de gnantas daan, malan de gnastentas hypatheu, pos epistrepita pollen, epita astene kaptokastoikea, hois pollen anothen duliu entelata. What's wrong with you people? See, that was called, that's the dative of indignation. Something like that. Really, it's very strong. This is very strong. I'd like to hear it being read, actually. I mean, you know, like in the congregations in Galatia. I mean, but now, Gnuntus is, what's that from? Anybody? Gnuntus? Gnosko, right. It's the aorist participle, active, masculine plural nominative. But now, knowing God, malon means rather, de, but rather, now look what Paul does, gnoscentes. This is also from gnosko, aorist participle, passive, right? Having been known by God, see, Paul is a good Lutheran, right? We don't find God, God finds us, right? And then the main verb is pos, which is with the circumflex. We're going to see pos without it in just a second. Pos with the circumflex is an interrogative. It's a question word. How? Question mark. How? And then epistrepheta is just a nice present indicative of epistrepho, which means to return or turn back or turn again. So woodenly, but now, on the other hand, knowing God, but rather being known by God, how are you turning again? So let's take those participles because Paul is talking about sequence here. Look, earlier you did this, but now you're doing this. So it fits very nicely to take the participles as temporal. But now, after you have known God, but rather after you have been known by God, and then the main clause. How are you turning? Now check it out. We've got one pollen, and then in the next line, we've got a second pollen, and then we've got anothen, which can be translated either from above or again. So, and this is theology, but it's breathtaking. Paul, the former Pharisee, in verse 8, talks about their former existence as worshipers of pagan idols, right? That's what you used to do. Now he says, you're going back to the same thing again. Well, that's breathtaking because what they're being tempted by is aspects of Torah obedience. And Paul says, that's the same thing as worshiping idols. Oh, no wonder he got ran out of town, right? Yeah, so you don't want Luther or Paul to be your pastor, I don't think. I mean, they're just like, you know, like they're both kind of like Clint Eastwood, you know. How are you turning again to the elemental things? Ta stoikeia. Now, glance over at verse 3. You probably remember this. 4:3. So also we, when we were babies, under the elemental things of the world, we had been enslaved. Okay? So whatever precisely the stoikeia are, to be under them or to serve them is to be lost. Right? It's to be non-Christian. Right? How are you, so back up to verse 9. How are you turning again to the, now let's modify them. Asthene means weak, right? And ptokos means poor. Right? So to the weak and poor elemental things, which again, you wish duleuein to serve. Okay, and it occurred to me that the fact that duleuein is a present infinitive active, not aorist, you might, and because it's a crucial moment where they're turning back, you might actually give the infinitive an inceptive translation. That is to say, which again you wish to begin to serve. Something like that. Although it could just be somewhat emphatic as a present infinitive and not an aorist infinitive. Let's see, the only little bit of cleanup there on hois, it's just the relative pronoun, dative plural, masculine plural dative, or actually neuter, I guess. And it's dative because duleuein takes a dative object. So that relative pronoun is actually the direct object of the infinitive, which, again, you want to serve. So there's a nice shift there in moving from the active participle to the passive at the beginning of the sentence. And then very strong on you're going back to what you had before. Don't go back. Right? That's Paul's appeal to them. Good. Questions about verse 9? Yeah, Joe.
You know the beginning of that where it says, now knowing God, mm-hmm. rather being known by God?
Yep.
It's kind of confusing me. I mean, is he just sort of like, well, let me put this in a better way.
Oh, I think so.
Like,
yeah.
You are known, like, is that kind of what he's trying to say there?
I think so, yeah. I think it's, well, I think it's deliberate.
Okay.
It's like he's setting them up.
It's kind of a weird way that
Yeah, and so therefore I think it is, and it is true. We, you know, Christians do know God, but that's not the most important thing to say about it, right? The most important thing is that, you know, it is true that, in a sense, seek and you will find. Right, so you could, properly speaking, say that we find Jesus, but it's only after he's found us. So again, Paul is a Lutheran. What do you expect? Yeah. Remember, this is it's oral. Most people can't read. Some can, but So I think it's actually a deliberate shift on his part. So good. Other comments, questions?
Could you translate that again? It sounds kind of like it gets awkward to me, the last half.
So it's just the whole verse, Tim?
Yeah.
Well, maybe take the participles temporally.
Or just from how.
Yeah, how are you turning again to the weak and poor or impoverished elemental things, which again you wish to serve?
So he's actually making a statement, you would say, you actually wish to serve, rather than continuing by kind of another question with the thelata. Which things do you wish to serve again and again? See, that's what I'm just wondering. In other words, what's the force of that last half of the sentence, I guess I'm asking. I don't want to...
Well, it's, you mean after stoicheia?
Yeah.
It's just modifying the stoicheia, right, with the relative clause.
Right, but I mean... So he's actually saying you wish to serve rather than kind of asking the rhetorical question, do you wish to serve?
Right. No. Paul is, it's interesting in Galatians, Paul is very gentle with the Galatians themselves, very stern on the false teachers. But it ramps up as you get into chapter 4 and 5, right? And of course, 12 and following is this emotional appeal to their former knowledge of him personally as an apostle and that kind of thing. So it's getting worse and worse in a sense as the letter goes on. So 5:4 is actually the pinnacle of Paul's sort of strong language against the Galatians themselves. But we'll come to that in due time. Because here's what's happening, verse 10. Okay? Yeah, see, so we've got a fourfold direct object, and the verb is parateresta. In the active voice, I looked it up, in the active voice, para tereo just means observe, like watch something. But in the middle, it means sort of give allegiance to, or hold fast, or observe in the sense of follow. And what we've got is days and months. Menos is from main with a circumflex, which means month. And then we've got kairos, times, and Henneautus, which means years. So you are observing days and months and times and years. So that's what they've actually begun to allow themselves to be enslaved to certain aspects of the law of Moses, right? As Gentiles, when in fact they don't. And again, the issue here is compulsion. You can do that if you want to, right? See, if you wanna do that, that's fine. But if someone tells you that you must do this in order to be a full member of the family of God or something like this, now the matter is one of compulsion. Luther says that's the key in Galatians, that it's compulsion. They're being forced. They're being told that they have to do these things. So you are observing days and months and times and years. And then verse 11. See, again, it's getting fairly stern here. And this actually is a little bit difficult syntactically. I had to review some stuff on here. So verse 11, Phobumai humas me pos eke kekapi'aka es humas. So phobeomai, of course, means to be afraid of. And it can also then come to mean I fear X, I fear something. Now, humas there is accusative, but it doesn't make any sense to Paul for Paul to be saying, I fear you. Right? And so what you actually have going on here, and this is in the grammar has mentioned this, is humas is probably fronted ahead of the me pos clause for emphasis. I fear, and so to translate this, what you do is put real emphasis when you get to you. This is called prolepsis. It's just something early on, earlier than it should be. Okay. So for now, we'll not translate humas until we get to the end. So I fear. Now, me pos. This is a different pos, actually. This means perhaps. Right? And with me, it can be translated lest. I fear lest. Eke is an adverb. It means in vain. And then whatever else kekapiaka might be, it's a picture perfect form, right? You see the duplication and the kappa in the stem. And you say, God is good. There are some regular verb forms in Greek, right? Kapiao means to labor, right? To work. And so, lest in vain I have labored for you, unto you. And see, now at this point, you take that fronted humas and like underline bold type and capital letters, see, in your translation. I fear lest in vain I have labored for you, right? So it's really a fairly striking thing to say. And Tim, to your question before, it's quite strong, right? The other thing that the grammars suggest, actually, and Burton's great commentary on Galatians suggests this too, that if what you're fearing hasn't happened yet, or it might not happen yet, the verb in the me pos clause will be subjunctive. If it's an indicative, the implication is that it's happened. And so, again, it's kind of ramping up as Paul's urgency increases throughout the letter. Will?
This lest, exactly what does that mean in English? I mean, here it seems like it's just that. I fear that. That in vain I have labored.
Actually, that's right. It's the object. It's the whole clause is the direct object.
So this may here is functioning like a hati almost.
Almost. It's reporting the object of what Paul fears. Yeah.
So, it really, lest wouldn't be the best translational.
Well, it would because I have a tie on. I think some of the translations actually, and he does too. I think actually some of the translations, I fear that. But again, there's a certain amount of doubt involved.
Yes, there's a hedging.
Exactly, he's hedging it. He's not quite saying that it's happened. And I think that's the force of me plus pos, is that there's...
So what I'm trying to understand is that this word lest, what does that exactly mean?
Well, it's kind of like, with another verb, it would actually be a purpose construction. But believe it or not, I didn't make this up. With verbs of apprehension, that's what the grammars say, then it's kind of like a hati clause, right? And so it's kind of a subtle point of grammar. So he's being really strong, but he's holding back a little bit. Yeah, he's not saying it's happened, that it's been in vain. But he's really hinting at it pretty strongly. So, yeah. So. Good. Well, that's great. That's as far as I got in my preparation. I guess we should stop. Well, both because the time is out, and that's as far as I got.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Greek Club.
Thanks.
Lectionary lunch on Wednesday and Hebrew Club on Thursday at Concordia Seminary.